Good morning and welcome to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak. Thank you so much for joining us on this Wednesday. We got a great show for you today. I'll tell you about it just as soon as we pray. Let's pray now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for giving us a new day. Father, we ask that you continue to be with us today. Wherever we go, may we remember your presence. Help us know what we can do to bring your love to those around us today. And help anyone who is suffering from illness, from despair, from anxiety, from loneliness. We also ask you to watch over and protect those who are homeless and those who are homebound. We pray for our priests, our religious, our deacons. We ask that you speak through us, Father, on the program today. May your words go forth from our lips and keep our minds open so that we may be able to hear your word and act upon it. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, again, thank you for tuning in to Spirit in the Morning, the Delaware Valley's only local Catholic morning show. I'm Gary Zimak, and we've got a great show for you today. We're going to be joined by Catherine O'Dell, who has written a book on Father Solanus Casey. Now he is blessed, Father Solanus Casey. She's going to be telling us about his life. Also, Kate Wicker will join us to discuss her book, Getting Past Perfect. I look across the table today, and Dave Parker looks a little different. It's Frank Eliason. Dave Parker is missing in action. He's having a bit of a rough morning today.
We have good him morning, in his in our prayers.
That's right.
You know, ultimately, you know, he broke down this morning, so, you know, he's at 7-Eleven with a car that's non-functioning.
Oh, man. You know, and he messaged us, and he said, please, no more talk about running out of gas in cars. But, oh, man, Frank, I can sympathize with what he's going through. That is the worst feeling.
Just run in for a split second and go to turn your car back on, and it doesn't work. Oh, you know, we've all had it happen in our lives at some point, and, you know, that's one of those things that I would dread happening. And so that's where Dave is right now, so let's keep him in our prayers. You know, if you're at Doylestown 7-Eleven, say hi. I'm sure he would love to talk to you. And then I may be stepping out at some point to go pick him up, but he's waiting for, you know, someone to tow his car, most likely, it sounds like. It sounds like he wasn't able to jump it.
You know, one time... And boy, I just can feel this because this has happened to me a few times. You get in the car, you turn on the key, and absolutely nothing happens. One time, my daughters and I, we were heading to the shrine at Częstochowa. This was before I was doing the radio show. It was on a Saturday, and we stopped at Krispy Kreme Donuts on Street Road on the way over there, right? We go into Krispy Kreme, get some donuts.
There's worse places to
be trapped. Well, this is what happened. We get out. Start the car, completely dead, call AAA, back into Krispy Kreme, and add some more donuts. I remember calling my wife. She's saying, what a place to break down, Krispy Kreme.
Yeah, that's a rough life. You know, being able to sit there, have a nice coffee, you know, enjoy the donuts, enjoy the warm donuts because they're constantly coming out. So, yeah, my kids love Krispy Kreme. I think they love to break down there.
Yeah, so anyway, Dave's at 7-Eleven. Hopefully he can enjoy himself, and I guess he's probably not listening to us right now since his car is dead. But
you know, don't you picture, you know, he's getting his coffee. He's probably going to, you know, if he's sitting there for a little while, he'll have another coffee. I bet you he talks to everybody that comes in.
I bet he does. And I bet Dave is not losing his cool because that's the way he is.
Exactly. He's enjoying it.
Yeah. So anyway, if you are listening, Dave, we miss you, brother. We are praying for you. And yeah, please keep Dave in your prayers. So, Frank, we are just about ready to go into the Advent season. Mm-hmm. Sunday is Advent, and we're at that point now where we are getting ready to get ready.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the guests have been on. Father Jim Sitchko did a great job talking about how we prepare during this crazy time of year. And it's hard because we just feel it coming. Like, I'm pretty relaxed right now. But I know it's the craziness is about to start.
And it's going to be, it seems like this one, I don't know how if you feel the same way, but this one feels like it's going to be a rushed, you know, Advent season. You know, it's going to be, you know, because the last week of Advent is Sunday and Christmas is what, Monday, I believe.
Yeah, exactly.
And so this is going to seem like a very rushed, you know, preparation time. And the other piece to it is it's always rushed, though, because we get caught up in all the other non-Christmas stuff. I need to get my cards out. I need to, you know, to get that right photo for those cards because they're all now photo cards, you know. And then you have, besides that, you have, I have to go get gifts. I have to do this. I have to, you know, I have to prepare this meal or do this. Mm-hmm. Is that really preparing for Christ?
Yeah, and that's the challenge. But you know, as we talked on the show yesterday, or actually it was Monday, Diane Hodek was on the program. She said these things aren't necessarily bad.
No,
but the challenge is to do them and to find Christ and to get ready to welcome Christ.
It's where your focus is.
It's a challenge.
You know, you can do these other things. These other things are, you know, if you think about it, aren't that hard. I think we sometimes make the perfect gift and all that too hard.
Right.
Whereas preparing for Christ is probably the harder side. So you know, my suggestion would be to concentrate on that, and the other stuff will come. It's not, you know, you know, people love, you know, you're buying gifts for people you love.
Exactly.
They're going to love what you give them. It doesn't matter what it is. You know, so there's no reason to overthink these things or worry on that side. Why don't we, you know, why don't we worry about our own self and, you know, where we're at, you know, in preparation for Christmas?
So I think the first step is to recognize that, yeah, this is going to be a crazy time of year. Mm-hmm. Let's get ready. Now we have a couple days before Advent starts, because, you know, once you begin Advent, Christmas is here. I mean, it flies.
That is correct.
Unlike Lent, Advent flies by, right? And but it is a good time for us to try to get closer to the Lord. And in fact, Mary Detouris Paust will be on the program tomorrow. She is the communication director for the Diocese of Albany, I believe. She blogs online about this. She has some thoughts about how we can learn to be patient during Advent. And she's also going to talk about the fact that she used to be someone who really focused on Lent as a time of preparation, but she's learned to appreciate Advent. And I think that's a lesson that many of us can learn, because we get into it for Lent, but Advent, we're too busy.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, we prepare, like Lent itself, we typically, it feels more religious.
Yeah.
Where Advent doesn't feel as religious, at least in my view, looking over the years. And I think it's because of all those other things that we're worrying about.
Yeah. You know,
we're not thinking religion. We're thinking, you know, the gifts. We're thinking about, you know, think about it as a kid. You know, as a kid, what do? You're waiting for Christmas Day, and you're waiting for the gifts of Christmas Day.
Yep.
Not the real, you know, purpose behind Christmas.
Yeah, and also I do want to mention, this is a good time to mention this, some people have questioned when we will begin to play Christmas music on the program. All I can say is it will happen this week at some point. So stay tuned. We will do that. And as we did last year, we'll build it up gradually. Right?
Exactly.
We'll start with one of our songs, then two, then three, and it's going to be fun.
Yeah, it seems like anymore, though, so many stations go 24/7 Christmas music in like early November.
Yeah.
It's like ridiculous. You know, it certainly takes away from the season.
Right.
And then what happens? Day after Christmas, they stop.
That's amazing. Yes.
To me, that's the Christmas season.
I know. But we're going to do that gradually here on the program. So stay tuned for that. Let's take a quick look at the weather right now at the Philadelphia International Airport. It is 46 degrees under fair skies. Today it'll be sunny with a high near 62. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 37. Then Thursday, partly sunny with a high near 53 degrees. At the present time in Doylestown, it's 43. In Horsham, it's 36. And in Quakertown, it is 32 degrees. All right, Frank, let's take a look at today's gospel. It comes from Luke chapter 21, verses 12 through 19. Jesus said to the crowd, "They will seize and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and to prisons, and they will have you led before kings and governors because of my name. It will lead to your giving testimony. Remember, you are not to prepare your defense beforehand, for I myself shall give you a wisdom in speaking, that all your adversaries will be powerless to resist or refute. You will even be handed over by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will be destroyed. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives." This is one of those gospels, Frank, that is so much easier to ignore than to take seriously. But yet, we do ignore this all the time. When you speak about Christ, or even when you try to have faith, when you try to remain positive in this world, you're going to get so much pushback. Like, oh, you're being unrealistic. What's wrong with you? You're right. But Jesus is saying this. He's saying, you're going to be hated because of my name, but by your perseverance, you're going to get to heaven.
And I'm guilty of it. I like in certain things like social media, I avoid things like religion and politics.
Right.
You know, we do this all the time because it's the safe thing to do.
It is.
And yet, why are we so safe? Aren't we safer with Jesus?
Wow. Yeah, but it's true. It is difficult sometimes because we've all been in those situations. Mm-hmm. I've been in those situations where a topic comes up. You're sitting around the lunch table at work. I remember this happening, and all of a sudden abortion came up. Mm-hmm. And I said, uh-oh, here I am. I've got to say something. And I was scared to say something mm-hmm. because I knew what would happen. And then I ended up, there were a couple times where I didn't say something, and I really regretted it. You know, I don't have to accuse anybody, but I have a right to express mm-hmm. my beliefs.
Absolutely. But then the other piece that I would say to it is, if we really sit down, there's a lot of these things that we can talk about, even in those circumstances, without creating an environment where, you know, people feel that way. We can express how we do things and the way we do it. That becomes part of our religion. It becomes that, you know, religious evangelization.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so the other thing is to also think about it a little differently. So instead of completely avoiding it, ways to subtly do the same thing.
Right, right. And it's so important. You talk about this a lot, and I've learned a lot from you because you've mentioned this quite often. Instead of accusing somebody, instead of judging somebody, listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say things in a loving mm-hmm. way, and it's going to be a lot more productive than if you say, hey, that's wrong, you're going
exactly.
to hell.
Right? Yeah, it never works when you say someone's no. wrong. But the other piece to it is, and I would say listen deeply, because oftentimes I find, you know, like, you know, a lot of my friends that are non-religious, you know, they may say things that don't appear religious. But if you start getting deeper into what their own views are and their own struggles, you know, it's often they are. They just need someone to help them get it out.
Yep, yep. We're going to take a break now. When we come back, we're going to talk about Blessed Solanus Casey. Stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for November 29th. Today we celebrate Pope Saint Clement I. Clement of Rome was the third successor of Saint Peter, reigning as Pope during the last decade of the first century. He's known as one of the Church's five apostolic fathers, those who provided a direct link between the apostles and later generations of Church fathers. His first epistle to the Corinthians was preserved and widely read in the early Church. This letter from the Bishop of Rome to the church in Corinth concerns a split that alienated a large number of the laity from the clergy. Deploring the unauthorized and unjustifiable division in the Corinthian community, Clement urged charity to heal the rift. Today, many in the church experience polarization regarding worship, how we speak of God, and other issues. We do well to take to heart the exhortation from Clement's epistle, "Charity unites us to God." It knows no schism, does not rebel, does all things in concord. In charity, all the elect of God have been made perfect. Rome's Basilica of St. Clement, one of the city's earliest parish churches, is probably built on the site of Clement's home. History tells us that Pope Clement was martyred in the year 101. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Summers and Zims. Summers and Zims provides quality service in plumbing, heating, and air conditioning and refrigeration. They are proud to serve Westchester, Exton, Downingtown, Coatesville, and Kennett Square. They also serve southern and eastern Lancaster County. Summers and Zims' telephone number is 610-593-5129, and their website is sumzim.com.
Positively the best way to start your morning. Gary Zimak is on Spirit in the Morning.
Mm-hmm. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great you are. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. Shouts of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek. That was How Great Thou Art by Matthias Michael. The time is 7:18, and I want to first, before we go to our guest, I want to give a shout out to Mark, the Good Samaritan, who helped Dave Parker get his car started. So Mr. Parker got his car started, and he is headed home. He's not going to be joining us in the on the program today, but he will be back tomorrow. Thank you for saying some prayers for Dave. I know Dave is listening, and he appreciates that. All right, recently, Father Solanus Casey was beatified, and I think a lot of people don't know too much about him. Well, we are joined now by Catherine Odell. She is the author of the book, Father Solanus Casey, from Our Sunday Visitor. She joins us by phone now. Catherine, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us on the program today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Can you tell us a little bit about the life of Father Solanus Casey?
Well, yes, and I think it's a great, really a great American story, mm-hmm. because he was born in Wisconsin in 1870. His parents were immigrants from Ireland. They had come over in the 1850s, shortly before the Civil War began, and married. Didn't know each other before they met in the New York area. But mm-hmm. So he was born in 1870. He was the sixth child of a very large family. Ultimately, there were 16 children in the family, but so his parents were farmers, and he grew up in various places in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And learned, had a very, came from a very pious, prayerful family. felt that he was called to the priesthood at about the age of 21. He'd had a lot of different kinds of jobs, working for a lumber mill, and then actually was a prison guard for a while at the state prison in Minnesota.
Wow.
Was a streetcar, was very interested and became one of the first streetcar conductors on electric streetcar up in Wisconsin and later also in Stillwater. But he felt this call finally, and he went first to a seminary in Milwaukee, mm-hmm. It was a German-speaking seminary, and then because of some language issues and difficulties, after 4 years, they told him that they felt that he wouldn't succeed there.
Wow.
He was very devastated by that. Still felt called to the priesthood, and then a few months later, he contacted the Capuchins in Detroit,
mm-hmm.
and then was admitted there and began to study for the priesthood there. So just a life of a lot of persistence, but wonderful, prayerful family background, and he was finally ordained as a simplex priest, which meant that he was not, because again, I think of difficulties with language,
right.
Not so much academics or his intellectual potential, but because of language issues, he was ordained as a simplex priest, which meant that he could not, he couldn't hear confessions, and he couldn't offer homilies.
Wow.
So from a parish's perspective, that was very limiting.
Yeah.
So his first jobs, in fact, all of his jobs as a priest after, were as a porter. In other words, he answered the door. He was the trainer of altar boys in parishes where he worked out in New York, which was the first part of his priesthood. And then he was also a moderator for sodalities, like the ladies' sodalities in a parish. So very kind of simple and humble jobs. But in all of that, God used him because he was more available. And he met people, and they found him very welcoming and very faith-filled and eager to listen to them. So his career of listening to people and praying with them began.
Right. I think what strikes me so much about the life of Father Solanas is just how ordinary he was,
mm-hmm.
but yet God used him in such extraordinary ways.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he did have some very special gifts. Could you talk a little bit about the gifts of Father Solanas?
Well, I'd like to start with the natural gifts. I think he was, as I said, he was from an Irish family, big family.
Right.
So he was used to dealing with and knowing a lot of different kinds of personalities. He had 15 siblings.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was comfortable with a lot of different kinds of people. And he was outgoing. He had a very good sense of humor. And growing up in that family, he learned a lot of, you know, Irish stories, and he liked music. His dad played the violin and sang a lot of Irish melodies from Ireland, and they learned a lot from their parents about their Irish heritage. But he was also his family attests very exceptionally prayerful in an already prayerful family.
Mm-hmm.
And when he received his first communion at about 12 or 13, he seemed to have had some sort of very deep spiritual experience, and it also involved a devotion from then on to the Blessed Mother. So
okay.
Every day he prayed the rosary very, very devoutly and spent a lot of time. So he was, from a very early age, very prayerful. At some point in his priesthood, maybe, perhaps even in the seminary, all of that spirituality deepened, and all of his fellow novices and other Capuchins could see that even though he was easygoing and he was friendly and he loved being with people, that there was something a lot deeper spiritually in him. And I think that was really drawn out when he, as a priest, was meeting people early on in the parishes in New York, and they had a lot of needs because there were a lot of immigrants at that time. This was right after the turn of the 19th century or the 20th century. Early in the 20th century, there were a lot of people that had come from Italy and from other countries around,
right.
Especially Europe, into the New York area, and they had a lot of issues in coping with their new lives in this country. So he prayed with them, and he did what he could for them.
Right.
I think it wasn't just prayer, but he also offered whatever support the Capuchins could offer their needs at that point. He visited people in their tenements in New York eventually after mm-hmm. a while. But clearly, I think at some point, the Lord blessed him with gifts of probably prophecy, because he could see people's hearts.
Yeah.
And he made certain prophecies, or he would make statements to people about, well, you know, when they came for prayer, your child will be well,
right,
you know, in 3 days, or sometimes very specific, but sometimes in a general way.
And sometimes he knew that the illness would not end in a physical healing, correct?
Told people from time to time that their loved one was going to go to God,
yeah,
and that they should
yeah.
be prepared for that.
Yeah.
And there are stories about that. So he had, we would say, those spiritual gifts that Scripture, the New Testament, talks about,
mm-hmm.
of healing, but also of prophecy and just wisdom, obviously, and knowledge, special knowledge. So he used all those gifts.
Right.
And in a very self-effacing way,
yeah.
people came back and said, oh, my child is better, you know, and the child was at death's door. You know, he kind of turned away the thanks to him personally, and he said, well, you know, thank God for this, because this is what God does. God is our loving Father, and
right.
God wants us to be healthy and you know, wants our children well.
Right, and I think the most powerful message that I got from reading this book, and I highly recommend our listeners check out this book, Father Solanus Casey from our Sunday Visitor, was that he was able to be so ordinary and find God in the ordinary, and he was so trusting in God's providence, and he just let the Lord use him in whatever way he wanted to. And I think by doing that, the Lord blessed him, and look, he ended up being a saint. And I think there's a good message for all of us there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. He spent a lot of time in prayer, in addition to a lot of hours in meeting people, and eventually that certainly impacted his health, because as he grew older, he was spending year after year
right.
Working with people and talking with people and having maybe five to 6 hours of sleep every night. And he
yeah.
was getting elderly. So finally the Capuchins decided to send him into retirement in Huntington, Indiana, which is where I first heard about
okay.
Lazarus. And he was at a friary there, St. Felix Friary, which was at that time, many years ago in the 1940s, for their young priests, their young postulant training to be priests.
Right. Well, Kathy,
so,
thank you so much for joining us on the program. Unfortunately, we are out of time. The book is Father Solanus Casey by Catherine O'Dell. I'll have a link to it at spiritinthemorning.com. We will be right back.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. North Korea has launched its most powerful weapon yet, claiming a new type of intercontinental ballistic missile that some observers believe could reach Washington and the entire eastern U.S. seaboard. Outside governments and analysts concurred that the North has made a jump in capability. Hundreds of thousands of people have come out for the Pope's first public mass in Myanmar, a huge turnout for a country with a rather tiny Catholic minority. Local government officials and senior members of Aung San Suu Kyi's National League for Democracy Party were also on hand. In his homily, Pope Francis cited the past wounds that the country has endured, but said the way of revenge is not the way of Jesus, saying, quote, "By the gift of his Spirit, Jesus enables us to be signs of his wisdom, which triumphs over the wisdom of this world, and his mercy, which soothes even the most painful of injuries," end quote. And the Chaldean Catholic Archbishop of Erbil, Iraq, celebrated a memorial mass at the St. John Paul II National Shrine last night for the victims of genocide by the Islamic State. In his homily, Archbishop Bashar Warda reflected on the genocide of Christians in light of the greatest commandment.
Christians have been a great witness to the first part of this commandment. They suffered at the hands of ISIS precisely because they loved God with their whole heart, their whole mind, and their whole strength. They loved God more than their positions or family, in some cases, life itself.
Archbishop Borda went on to say that Christians in the West have been a great example of loving your neighbor as yourself. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
A quote from St. Teresa of Calcutta, "Let no one ever come to you without leaving better and happier. Be the living expression of God's mercy and kindness. Kindness in your face, kindness in your eyes, kindness in your smile."
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Simak.
Give. Stay where it's
And welcome back to Spirit of the Morning. That was Natalie Grant with B1. I'm Gary Zimek. Thank you so much for tuning into the show today. The time right now is 7:35. Well, Kate Wicker is a regular guest on the program. You can find her online at katewicker.com. We have been discussing her book, Getting Past Perfect, How to Find Joy and Grace in the Messiness of Motherhood, from Ave Maria Press. She's here today to talk about the changing role of a mother, especially as your children get a little older. Hey, Kate, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Oh, wonderful. All right, Kate, this is a tough topic. This is what I like about your book, though. It's so realistic. You know, and it's difficult when our children begin to age and our role, your role as mother begins to change. Talk a little bit about that, if you could.
Yeah, you know, I when I was in the thick of, I had four children very close together, and then I had a little bit of a space and a baby, and I remember when I was in the thick of just raising the little ones, I used to think, you know, it's going to get easier
eventually.
And I don't want to cause any moms out there with the little ones with any despair, because that's not what I'm about. I'm about encouraging. But it hasn't gotten easier. It's a different kind of hard. And I think that there's this constant surrendering of old, and then you have to have a trust in new beginnings.
Wow.
And I think that's very difficult for us, because people just, as a whole, we're resistant to change, and we want to be in control. And it's hard when you figure things out, like you figure maybe potty training out or whatever, and then all of a sudden you've got a teenager, and there's no more potty training woes, but then there's this whole emotional landscape that you have to navigate. So you're constantly growing and changing, and I think that's where God comes in. There just has to be this trust and this, you know, as Catholics, it's all about surrendering. And you have to do that so much as a parent, because every day, not even every year, but every day is different and presents its new share of challenges. And, you know, I call this chapter the old woman in the shoe, because as your kids grow older, too, you're dealing, there's sort of this perfect storm, because you're dealing with aging and trying to age gracefully and planning for retirement. And then as a woman, you know, dealing with the new shift of hormones, like I had a friend say, why does menopause have to coincide with having teenagers? Because like everyone's hormonal, you know? And so, you know, it's this dealing with all of these kind of changes and just looking to God and saying, you know what? All of a sudden, I used to think I was a veteran mom, and all of a sudden, I'm the newbie mom again.
You there, Kate? I think we lost Kate. I think we lost her. But this is a great point that she's making, and I know this is something we're going to try. Kate, are you there? I think we lost Kate temporarily. We're going to try to get her back on the line. But she's making a great point that being a mom or being a dad, when you have kids, it's all about change. Every day is the chance to surrender to God. And my wife and I have had this discussion, because we've homeschooled our children. This year, my daughters, Mary and Elizabeth, have gone into college, and things are completely different. I think we have Kate on the line. We're going to try one more time. Hey, Kate, are you there?
Yes, I'm sorry about that.
Oh, no problem. I wasn't sure what was happening. But while we were trying to get you back on the line, I was talking about my own situation. My wife and I, actually my wife did all the work, but she homeschooled our twin daughters, and this year they both went to college. I mean, they're going locally, but still it's an incredible change for us and for her especially, and it's a chance to once again surrender to God. Do you think he allows things like this to happen so that we can... Uh-oh, that's not good. We're not sure what's happening, but we lost Kate again, but I'm going to just answer for her. How about that? I think that God allows things like this to happen so that we can grow closer to him. And I know in my own case, my wife and I, we're going through change right now. Change is difficult, and it's not easy for us to surrender to God.
but yet he allows things like this to happen so that we can become closer to him. Frank, I know you've probably seen this. We've got Frank Eliason here, who's going to be filling in for Kate Wicker. But we apologize for that. But this does happen sometimes that we lose a guest. Kate just dropped off. But change, you've seen it with your kids. As they get older, the problems don't go away, but they change.
They do change, and sometimes they get more complicated. Sometimes we get better at handling those problems, and so both sides happen, and that divergence occurs.
So, what do you do? How do you deal with this? How do you deal with this constant need to surrender to the Lord? Mm-hmm. I mean, ultimately, Frank, I think it comes up. You come up against the thought that I am not really in control as much as I think I am.
I think, first of all, it's one of those things. It is getting to that point where you're like, hey, I'm not in control of these things. But we strive to, and we strive to do everything the best we can. I think at some point it is stepping back and then realizing, by putting yourself in God's hands, good things can come. Is there suffering? Is there challenges? Absolutely. But ultimately, the best outcomes are when you do just that.
You know what's funny? We were talking to Kate Wicker, and she's dropped off twice, so we're not sure what's going on with the connection. We are very much aware, Frank, of the fact that we are not in control right now, as is Dave Parker, whose car wouldn't start today. Those situations are difficult. But if we just learn to roll with the punches, we're going to be a lot more peaceful.
Well, I think part of it is our own controlling thing. We have to do the best. We have to do this. And we get so controlling in matters. Or what I tend to do sometimes is I overthink things from beforehand. Like I have a vision of, here's the outcome. It's what's going to happen. And then things don't tend to meet that outcome. And what happens? You beat yourself up. You do all kinds of other stuff. And once you start to go, wait, why am I worrying about that?
Right.
That's not that important. What is important is what I do in life, what I do for others. That these outcomes, the perfect outcome or the perfect this, that's just not a reality. So it's putting yourself in God's hands.
Do you think that sometimes some of us tend to over-prepare?
Guaranteed. Right. A lot of us do. I do.
And we're not advocating that we don't have a plan. I mean, certainly God wants us to plan for the future. But I think sometimes we not only make the plans, but we envision how these plans are going to turn out. I've got a software background. Mm-hmm. So with me, I struggle with this all the time. If I do this, then this other thing should happen.
That's
when
right.
it doesn't happen, I'm completely flabbergasted.
Yeah, I get mad. I get mad at myself, get mad at others, whatever. And sometimes we even get mad at God.
Happens all the time.
When do we turn to him? We only turn to him during the bad things, not the good things. And we give ourselves credit for the good things. We give him credit for the bad things. It's kind of, we're a little backwards that way, which is kind of comical. But, if we step back and we do put ourselves in God's hands, that's life. This is what the things that go on. You and I never planned on sitting here.
Right.
That's
exactly right. Exactly.
Something put us here. And we sit there all the time when we're talking and go, there's a reason for it. I'm not really quite sure what it is.
Yep.
But when you do give yourself that way, you get a better feeling within your own heart, within your own soul, that you're actually able to deliver these things. And so, yield to that at some point.
And maybe this is a great thing for all of us to work on during Advent.
It's a great thing to pray for Advent.
Right.
And what
greater
a great
trust.
Gift
yeah.
if you can gain it.
Right. I found in my life, and by the way, if you're expecting to hear Kate Wicker, we had some technical difficulties. Please visit her website online at katewicker.com. The book is Getting Past Perfect. Check it out, especially if you're a mom who is struggling with this idea of perfect motherhood. And I think, Frank, that social media oftentimes hurts many people because we look at other people's lives and we say everybody else's life is perfect.
That's what
except
we portray.
Except mine,
yeah,
right?
We portray the perfect life in social media. We want people to think we have the perfect life, and that's what others are doing, the exact same thing. I actually am right now looking at the world and saying, I think it's kind of a downfall of social media. I think we're going to see people not use it as much. But a lot of it comes down to that. People don't have the perfect life. They have their struggles. Are they telling you their struggles or what they're, what's eating away at them? No.
Right.
They're telling you, look at this great picture of me smiling with this great background and my family's perfect and we're all perfect. No one's perfect.
Right, right. And that, and when we look at other people's lives and we assume that, oh, I must be such a loser because my life is not perfect, we're not seeing a realistic picture of what's going on in everybody else's life. We're all struggling.
We're all imperfect in so many ways. And it's that imperfection that really makes us human, makes us special. And so, you know, in some ways, it's finding ways to even celebrate that. And I think as a society, we're not good at that.
Right. And when we come back from the break, we will do the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. And it's going to remind us of the importance of trusting in God's plan, which our first guest, Catherine O'Dell, talked about Father Solanus Casey. Here is someone who trusted in God's plan. He was humbled in so many different ways. He had all kinds of ideas, but he was, as a priest, unable to hear confession. Now, I'm sure that's not the way he planned it. He was also not allowed to preach. So, you know, but he accepted God's will for his life. And what did God do? God used him to perform many miraculous healings. I think that's a great message for all of us to let go and let God take over in our lives. And again, Advent is the perfect time to work on that, to really let him help you, because that's where the peace lies. When you trust him and you say, all right, Lord, I might not like what you're doing here, but I trust you. I know your plan is best. That's where the peace comes in.
Absolutely. I think it's getting to that point. That's the hardest point. It's the hardest thing to do, you know, but that's what we have to work towards. That's the effort that we have to make. And, you know, and that puts the real trust out there of God.
That's right. All right. We hear the music, so we're going to take a break. When we come back, it's time for the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Stay tuned.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Norman Vincent Peale was a popular author and minister, but he started out as a reporter. The newsletter Appleseeds reprinted a story about his crossing paths with industrialist Henry Ford. When Peale asked Ford for advice for a young man starting out in life, Ford responded, "Who's your best friend, son?" Before Peale could say anything, Ford answered the question himself, declaring, "I'll tell you who it is. It's the person who brings out the best in you. Always associate with the best people. That's where you will find such a person." Years later, Peale affirmed the truth of that advice, saying, "A best friend is one who tells you, yes, you can make your dreams come true. Yes, you have something valuable to offer to the world. Yes, your life can make a difference." This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Holly Hill Health Foods, a family-owned business for over 25 years, located at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, PA. They offer a large selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, formulas, and three nutritionists to serve you. Call them at 215-361-7770 or visit their website at www.hollyhillhealth.com.
Want a good prescription for an awesome start to your day? A strong cup of coffee, Gary Zimak, and Spirit in the Morning.
One, two, three, four. You are not alone if you are alone.
Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was All the People Said Amen by Matt Maher. I'm Gary Zimak, joined in the studio by Frank Eliason. Dave Parker is taking care of some car issues, but Dave will be back with us tomorrow. Time for your Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Comes from Isaiah 55, 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is a simple message, but it's one that's difficult to put into practice. God's ways are sometimes difficult to figure out. There are things that are going to happen in life that we will not be able to figure out. If we learn to trust Him, how do you learn to trust Him? You get to know Him better. But if you learn to trust Him, that's where you become more peaceful. So if you're struggling with something today, maybe you have an illness, maybe you're struggling financially, maybe you have a difficult situation in the office, whatever it may be, ask Him for the grace to be able to go along with it, and also ask Him to help you understand what He's trying to teach you. A lot of times He allows us to go through things so He can teach us a thing or two. He knows what He's doing, right, Frank?
We like to think He does now. We do know He does. You know, I joke about that because, you know, He put us here. But, you know, He does. And once you yield to that, that's the key. And it's so difficult to do because what is, you know, religion? It's faith. Faith is such a great term. You know, it's having, you know, that belief with not all your answers in front of you.
Yeah, exactly. Because if you had all the answers in front of you, it would not require faith.
That is correct.
Right? And it's hard to trust sometimes, even God. It's hard to trust Him.
Well, you know, and I think in some ways in society, we create a distrust in general, all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And I think, it becomes a learned behavior to distrust. When we're babies, we typically trust everybody. And then as we get older, we start to have a deep distrust.
Very good point. This is why Jesus tells us in order to get to heaven, we have to become like little children. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they trust.
That is correct.
They don't question everything. Until they get a little older, then they start to question things, right?
Yeah, teenagers.
But, you know, here's what's striking me. Now, you and I woke up this morning. We came to the studio. I expected to have Kate Wicker on the show. Mm-hmm. I expected Dave Parker to be sitting across from me. Dave had car issues. Mm-hmm. We had some phone problems, yep. So Kate got disconnected. And by the way, we are going to reschedule her for next week. And mm-hmm. and we believe the problem could be...
Well, it was really funny. So our phone service is Comcast. And so I called them yesterday just for something else. And literally when I was on the phone with them, as soon as I got off the phone with them, our phones went out. And so I immediately called them. And so they're actually already sending a technician this morning. So my hunch is the two things are a little bit combined. So we will have that corrected later on today.
Yes, and we apologize to Kate. We are going to get her back on next week.
But it's really funny. We never had issues prior to that.
Yeah, I know.
It's really weird.
So, but here's the thing. You and I are in this situation. We're talking about things we didn't expect to be talking about what we're talking about.
That's right.
But, you know, we're letting the Holy Spirit lead us. Things happen.
That's right.
And you can't get stressed out about the daily little inconveniences, because if you do, you're going to drive yourself crazy.
That is correct. And even the big things. I mean, you know, there's something you can get from anything that goes on in your life. You have something horrible happen.
Yeah.
There's something, if you look deep enough, and sometimes it requires the hurt to go away, but when you look deep enough, there's things that you can gain from it. And so, you know, start looking for those things. Start looking for, you know, what can I learn from something? Or what did I learn from something? Or what is the benefit I really had here? And you'll find it. And that's where, you know, spirit really comes alive.
Before we went on the air, I was listening to the Sunrise Morning Show, and Anna Mitchell was doing an interview with Jeff Cavins about suffering. It was a fantastic interview. And one of the points he made, and I just loved listening to this, he said, in order to be able to accept the big things, because we're all going to be hit with some big suffering in life. We're all going to have some problem that is very difficult at some point or another in our lives. He said, you've got to be willing to accept the small things, the mm-hmm. small inconveniences, and offer them up and say, all right, Lord, your will be done. You know, when you get used to doing that, when you get used to accepting the little things, it's much easier to accept the big things.
Oh, it does. It does. And so, you know, but be inspired by it, but also look around you, because oftentimes, even during the worst of things, and I've dealt with some of the horrible things in life, you know, even with some of those worst of things, if you look around, there's people that are actually dealing with much worse at times. And, you know, and so, you know, we may think ours is the horrible, worst thing, and it may be. But you know what? There's others that are suffering, too, and suffering in some cases more. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with that? How do you, you know, look upon them, and how do you help them? And part of it in helping them is also understanding what's going on in your own life, in your own world.
Yep. So look around you today and remember that God really is in control. He knows what he's doing, even if it doesn't seem like it at times. And just ask him to help you. Frank, we have some special programming coming up later in the week.
One of the things I was going to say in relation to all that, though, is also find the beauty in the world. Find the beautiful things that are around you. And so Friday night, we're going to be broadcasting live at 7 p.m. from Immaculata. And so they do this... thing in the rotunda. It's beautiful music in the rotunda, and the sound just envelops you. We did it last year, and it was the first year we did it, and so we had some learning things with that. But you know what? I think the sound was going to be really fantastic. The music is just absolutely beautiful. What a way to start the season.
Yeah.
So that it's going to air on Friday at 7 p.m. I will also decide between now and Friday when we'll re-air it. But typically I'll try and re-air it at least over the weekend and maybe during the week next week. But it's a great way to start this Christmas season, this Advent season, I should say.
Yep. So keep that in mind here on Holy Spirit Radio. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to be joined by Catherine Zeltner, the host of EWTN Pro-Life Weekly, also Married to Tourist Past, will be here to talk about Advent. Friday on the program, Jeannie Ewing will be here to discuss her book, From Grief to Grace. Also, the Catholic hipster will be joining us. Tommy Ty will be here. That's going to be a fun show.
Yeah, I just grabbed the book out of my car.
Yeah, I have a copy, too.
Oh, you do have it.
We're all set. We just got to get hip by Friday. You think that's possible?
It's cool to be Catholic.
That's right. It is cool to be Catholic here on Spirit in the Morning. We're going to work on our hipness. So we got to get Parker up to speed. I'm going to be working with him tomorrow. We'll see what we can do. Right? So we'll be ready for Tommy when he joins us on the program on Friday. Well, Frank, this was fun. It was unexpected. I didn't expect you and I to be chatting, but...
Hey, you know what? It is fun. And now, you know, as soon as we finish up here, I'll wait for the Comcast technician to arrive so I can make a ton of jokes about that. But, you know, they were good guys.
Yeah, and hopefully Dave Parker's got his car problems fixed. But we do know one thing for sure. Dave is passing out cards for Holy Spirit Radio right now.
It's really
He's
funny.
He's evangelizing wherever he goes. That's what he does.
Exactly. He goes through business cards like mad.
That's right. So thank you for listening to the program. Remember to check us out at spiritinthemorning.com. Until next time, this is Gary Zimek reminding you, whatever you do today, wherever you go, the Lord is with you. So make sure you turn around and say hi. Talk to you later.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating